Hi peeps, it's Josh, and welcome to episode number 19. This one is going to be mostly life talk, a little bit of truck talk, with regards to the fact that I guess Leo would be connected to the truck, and I want to talk a little bit about nighttime driving. So I was talking to my sister earlier, and some of you may understand this, some of you may not, but when I was on my trainer's truck, and I know I've talked about this a little bit in the past, but when I was on my trainer's truck, we did not always get along. There were times where, just by the nature of both of our personalities, I'm very much an introvert, and I very much am drained by spending a lot of time with even a trusted stranger. So at a certain point, Leo was no longer a stranger, but she wasn't exactly family. She was always my boss, essentially, and that's tough, spending all of your time around your boss, and it's just a tiny space. And you go from being a very independent person to being just very reliant on your team member. Not team member, but your like, she wasn't exactly a peer. She, you know, I don't know how to explain it, but it's a weird dynamic. And now that I have the experience of having Maggie on the truck with me, even Maggie and I sometimes are literally at each other's throats and need time apart from each other. Interestingly enough, I found myself really missing Leah today. And I was like, self, what's going on? Not that it's not okay to miss her, because it is. I was very close with her. As soon as I got off her truck, we became very close. I mean, we were close when I was on her truck in proximity, but there was a barrier in between us where it was just this different dynamic. And then once I was off her truck, it was like it unblocked a part of our friendship and literally we grew so much closer. And just even seeing her receptiveness, because when I first got on her truck, she was still very confused about the transgender thing and not quite sure, and she had a lot of questions, and I was like, ask me anything, because if you're asking questions, then your heart is open and it's not full of hatred, because people that are full of hatred don't often ask questions. So I was like, ask me whatever, like, you know, if you've got questions and I can help answer them, you know, hey, go for it. And I watched her bloom from someone who wasn't close-hearted, but like, she was always accepting, and she just didn't understand certain aspects. And I watched her become an advocate for transgender rights and an ally, and just filled my heart with gratitude and pride, because not only was she able to become just knowledgeable and able to answer questions herself, but she became someone who was willing to stand up for me more than I was willing to stand up for myself at times, you know. Anyway, that's a side thing. Anyway, so earlier today, this morning, I messaged my dispatcher because we were having 45 mile per hour winds, and there was a huge dust storm where I was, and it lasted until like 7 o'clock tonight. So we sat, because I was like, we only have 8,000 pounds in the box. And I messaged him and I'm like, I would normally call Leah, but I don't know, I don't necessarily trust my judgment completely. So I feel like before I decide to shut it down, I try to reach out to someone and say, you know, what should I do? And I reached out to my dispatcher, and he was like, stay put until it's safe. Which was cool, because he wasn't like, well, if you think you can, you know, there was no haggling or no, he was like, until you feel safe, stay put. And so I did. And as I sat in this truck, and I had a splitting headache all day today, and even now I have a really bad headache, but it's getting to the point where, like, it's a normal level headache for me that I can deal with. I'm cool with this. Earlier, I was, like, not wanting to see light and not wanting to move because I was feeling like the world was tilting. So it's better now, but I was laying in the bunk in this truck, and I was very much reminded of a point where I was on Leah's truck, and I was, I'm trying to think if I had my CDL yet or not. I can't remember. Anyway, there were really high winds, and Leah, we were getting to an area where my Kalamazoo family was going to be able to come out and say hi. And Leah was like, I'm really sorry, but we have to shut it down. These winds are too bad, and we're empty, and we just can't continue on. And I was so mad. But, and I have to say, she made the right decision in hindsight. But at the time, I didn't have the knowledge or experience to know that she was making the right decision. So in my heart of hearts, I was like, you just don't want me to see my family. And I was feeling bad for myself, and I was being an asshole. And her and I discussed it after the point. She was like, I know you thought I was being mean and that I just didn't want you to see your family. She's like, but that was not the case, I swear. And I was like, I know that. I was an asshole, and I was being a shit. And it wasn't like I outwardly said certain things, but I was clearly angry and caged in and just not dealing with the circumstances well. Not that I was, like, openly saying these things to her, but I definitely was thinking them. And she was observant enough to know how I could potentially be feeling. And as I sat in my truck now, I don't know exactly how she felt then, so I don't want to be like, I know exactly how she felt now, but she was trying to keep me safe. And that's one of the things that she was like, I promise you I will do everything I can to keep you safe. And she took that seriously. And she did. At one point, she even saved my life on her truck by getting us out of a bad situation up on Elk Mountain. And I think I've also talked about that one before. You guys, if there's one thing you should know about me, it's that I do tend to repeat myself. And I do love to tell my stories more than once. I think I get that from a combination of my mother and my father, because they both have done that in times that I remember. So, I don't know. Anyway, I sat on this truck, and I sat in the front seat, and I was like, I feel like I need to roll, but I feel like it's not safe, and I don't want to make the wrong choice here and look back and regret it. And I'm like, comparing my circumstance to how it felt when Leah made this same decision, and when Leah shut it down, it felt like it did this morning. And so that's ultimately what led me to message dispatch and say, you know, this doesn't feel right. I think my gut's telling me that I feel like we should not be rolling. And that was ultimately, in my opinion, the right decision. But it took me back to her truck so forcefully. And then all day today, as the wind was shaking our truck, literally, we were sitting still and I felt like we were going to blow over. It was very, very nerve-wracking at points. Really, really gusty and very windy, and the dust was, whew, the struggle was real with the dust storm, y'all. But as I sat on this truck, I could not stop thinking of Leah. I think she was even in one of my dreams when I was sleeping. But I knew that I would be driving tonight at night, and when I talked to my sister Katie today, I even brought me back because she was like, remember when you used to love driving at night in your car? And she's like, because it was true. Throughout my life, I've always enjoyed driving at night because it feels like the world is so much smaller and there's less people, and it just, there's something really cool about it. Interestingly enough, there's a different reason why I love driving at night now, and it's because for whatever reason, it reminds me of being on Leah's truck. And as frustrating as she was at times, and again, now I get why she did and said the things that she did and said. I didn't get it then, and so then it was just frustrating to me. And I just felt like, I don't know, it was just frustrating. Training was hard, and I think it is for just about everybody. I haven't encountered anyone who was like, training was fabulous, I loved it, it was enjoyable. Except, it seemed like Ellie went through it pretty well, but I think even parts of it were frustrating for her. And, not that I'm trying to speak for her, but I think it's pretty common to feel like training is just a giant pain in the tuckie. And, you know, it is what it is, right? That's just part of one of the stages of getting to your own truck. But one of the most amazing things about being on Leah's truck was when I finally got my CDL and I was able to drive at night. And she was in the bunk, and there was quiet and peace. And there were nights where I was also very tired, and I had to adjust to driving the truck at night, because driving a truck is much more tiresome than driving a car, in my opinion. There's just way more to think about, way more to do. It's just more. And especially in the beginning, you have to adjust to driving at night in a truck, in my opinion. So, when I first started driving at night, I was nervous. But that's kind of to be expected, right? And then, once I relaxed into it, it was wonderful. And it still is. Because at nighttime, the driving is way different. At nighttime, when you're driving, it's... There's different visibility things to be aware of and concerned with. Like the amount of space in front of you that you can see, and therefore the speed that you can travel based on that. Definitely if it's any kind of bad weather at night, it's always more difficult. And, you know, just the nighttime drivers, you have to watch for intoxication and or drowsy drivers, because you just have to not only drive defensively, but you have to drive in order to protect yourself and everybody else on the road. Or at least that's how I drive. And I think most drivers do. I don't think I'm anything special for doing that. But I'm always looking at other drivers like, are they okay? You know, do they, you know, and watching your blind spots and whatever. There's a different set of issues for nighttime driving. But then the flip side is there's very little traffic in most instances. And there's just something beautiful about traveling across the country while most of the people around you are sleeping. And then once you get to your destination, you can usually find parking because everybody's driving during the day, or most people are driving during the day. So, you know, there's give and take on both sides. But I remember when I first started driving Leah's truck. And so when I drive my truck at night, it takes me back to that. There was this feeling of security and safety on her truck, just knowing that she was on it. Now, at the time, I didn't realize how great that sense of security was. And I was focused on like, no, I'm like pretending Leah's not back there because I need to be able to do this on my own. And to an extent, yeah, that was true. In fact, she said that she was proud of me for handling a service failure where, you know, we, one of our hoses burst, and it was a radiator, a coolant hose, and I called out, you know, I did a Mac 21, and I got, you know, a repair truck out, and they fixed it, and I woke her, and I told her what happened, so that she knew what was going on with her truck, but then I told her to go back to sleep, and that I would take care of it. She didn't have to worry, I knew what to do, and she did go back to sleep, because, you know, she was like, okay, all right, as long as, all right, and, you know, so I did. I am not over that line. What is your situation? Yeah, I'm not over the line. He's just tripping. But it's, I don't know, it's an interesting thing, because I did have a certain level of security that I wasn't even aware of. I was like, well, I'm just driving as if she's not here because I need to be able to do this on my own. When in reality, there was a sense of security, and that was such a privilege to have that while I was in my beginning stages of learning. Mind you, I'm still learning, so I'm not trying to say while I was doing my learning, because that is absolutely 100% still happening. I'm still learning every single day. But when I drive at night, I'm taken back to that point. I'm taken back to that, those quiet nights on Leah's truck where I knew that her and Abby were in the back seat, and that if anything happened, I would be able to wake her up and ask her questions. I knew that she had my back. And for whatever reason, today, missing her was like a toothache. I think it was the combination of the wind, that I have only really experienced that kind of wind a couple of times, and each time I experience it, it takes me back. It reminds me of being on her truck, and it makes, you know, it just, and then knowing that I was going to drive tonight made me just think of that. And now, there was one time that really stands out in my mind. This wasn't specifically the only time that this happened, but this stands out in my mind, where one time we were driving, we were teaming, but she couldn't sleep at night, and she was getting ready to take home time, and so I was driving, and it was night, and she couldn't sleep, and she sat up front with me, and she was like, I can't sleep, I'll just come up here. She's like, but she looked at me, she was like, you don't mind, do you? And I was like, no, come on, you know, and we just talked pretty much throughout the entire night. And yes, I asked her a bunch of annoying questions, but she also talked to me, and she was talking to me about some of her favorite songs and telling me about her kids and her grandkids. And it was like a road trip. And when I think back to that, I think how very lucky I was to enjoy that time with Leah, and how very grateful I am that she touched my life in the way that she did. And how very lucky that, you know, that Ellie was her student before me, because it's not the same. I know I talk about Ellie and Leah in similar ways. Ellie is obviously much, 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 much younger than Leah, and a great deal younger than myself, but very much a mentor and very much a role model in multiple ways. And yesterday I got to talk to Ellie for a little while, and it's just a pleasure every time I get to talk to her. Just like it was a pleasure every time I got to talk to Leah. But I actually drove over a part, one of the narrow parts of the Grand Canyon, and I was like, kind of freaking out a little bit. I was like, what is this big hole? And Ellie was like, what? And Maggie was like, what the heck is this? Like, we're both looking like, whoa. And Ellie was able to figure out, based on where I was, she was like, that's part of the Grand Canyon. And I was like, what? What? And there are two people that I really, when something like that occurs, I instantly think, I gotta tell Leah. And I don't know if I'm still in a little bit of denial. Like, I know Leah passed, and I'm aware of that, but I can't delete her name and number from my phone. And she's still in one of my, like, my phone has a list of recent, so my phone has a list of most used contacts, and she's still in them. And that's an average, and I know that at some point she will drop off from my most used contacts. Not recent contacts, but most used. I know eventually, and I'm dreading it, I know that she'll drop off, but there's something about even now seeing her name there that comforts me. And I will be incredibly sad when she drops off that list. Because it will mean that she will have been gone for a considerable amount of time. And, I don't know. So, basically, I guess I brought up the Grand Canyon thing because there are two people. I mean, Maggie's with me, or I would want to tell her first, obviously. But I would want to tell Leah, and I wouldn't want to tell Ellie. And Ellie's reaction was, I'm so glad I got to be on the phone with you for that. And I was too. Absolutely. Just really excited to share that experience with such a good friend and a mentor. But also, it was such a moment where I literally had the thought, I have to tell Leah. And then I had the thought, oh, fuck. Can't tell Leah. And I still have these feelings like, I don't want to be overly dramatic. Do I have the right to feel this sad? Do I have the right to feel this heartbroken still? And I talked to my sister about that often. In fact, I told Katie about how I was feeling about driving at night and how it takes me back to Leah's truck because it looks and feels the same. This is literally the same kind of truck that she drove. And I keep my cab the same way that she did. The GPS is in the same place because that's how Leah did it. And the temperature is the same because that's how Leah kept it. And it hasn't, you know, keeping the cab cold keeps me awake and alert, and it's good. So that's typically what I choose to do. I don't know. I was telling Katie about this and just really having a day where I never don't miss Leah, but today was really harder for the reasons that I listed. And I guess it makes me think of one of my friends. I don't want to say her name for reasons of respect, but she lost her spouse. And, not that Leah obviously was my spouse, because she wasn't, and, you know, Maggie is, and, you know, that's the thing, but, she was very close to me. I spent a lot of time with her, and she didn't occupy a lot of time in my life, but she occupied a big space in my life for who she was and the role that she played and the energy that she shared with me. And so not that I'm comparing losing Leah to what my friend experienced with the death of her spouse, but she talked about grief in a way that I found relatable. And she talked about that you don't deal with their loss better. Certain things are sharper and certain things are duller. And the grief doesn't go away, but you accept parts of it differently. I'm not doing this justice, but essentially, I think today I found parts of my day to be so reminiscent of times when I was on Leah's truck that I feel her loss with a sharpness. And my focus isn't like being like Eeyore or being sad panda about it. Like, that's not what I want to do. But I want to acknowledge my feelings of loss, acknowledge my missing her. And if I hadn't had that experience with her about shutting down, I may not have shut down today. And I may have turned over my truck. And if I hadn't had the experience of driving at night on her cab, I might not know to keep my cab cold to keep me alert. And I may not, if I hadn't experienced, I don't know, like, I have to feel gratitude. And in a sense, it took a very concentrated effort to take my feelings of sadness and my feelings of really just missing my friend. I sound like I'm crying. I'm not crying. In ways I wish I could. But the hormones, the testosterone kind of at times constipate my tear ducts. So I can't cry when I would like to. I am feeling emotional. But my sniffly nose is because I actually think I'm starting to get sick. Although oddly enough, sometimes when I want to cry but can't, my nose will start running. And I'm like, what are the tears redirecting? Like, what's happening? Why? But anyway, it took a concentrated effort to try and, I don't know. I like to think that Leah wouldn't want me to sit around and mope. I like to think that Leah would want me to take those feelings and try to, you know, how do I explain this? So one time I was backing and Leah was basically like, I want you to back until you get pissed off. And I was like, what? I'm not going to get pissed off. I'm not like that. I'm going to keep at it until I get it. And she was like, now you're going to get pissed off because you care about it. She's like, if you didn't care, you wouldn't get mad. And I was like, all right, but I think you're wrong. I'm not going to get pissed off. And because I thought I knew everything in ways. And I knew nothing in many ways. And in most ways, I knew nothing. And in most ways, I still know nothing. But I'm learning to know a little less than nothing, if that makes any sense. So I started backing. And Leah was watching from outside. And she had Abby on the leash. She was walking around, and it was cold as hell, but she wanted to give me space, and she was watching me carefully, overseeing me from outside, but wanted to give me the space to try and figure shit out. And I got pissed. She was right. And I said so. I was like, damn it. She was like, uh-huh. Did you get pissed? And I was like, yeah. She's like, well, you know, the good thing about bad emotions is they show you that you care. And they show you that you're human and you could feel. She's like, so that's never really a bad thing and it's never really wasted. And she's like, it's not wrong. She's like, you, like a lot of students before you, you got pissed at it because you care. And that's not to say that someone that doesn't get pissed at backing doesn't care. That's just how she made me feel better about not being able to keep my cool because I couldn't figure out backing. I had a hard time with backing. I still do sometimes. But, that taught me something that had nothing to do with backing. And that if I have strong emotions about something, I probably care. And that translates directly to this instance for me. And the way that it translates to this instance for me tells me that I really cared about Leah. And I still do. I will never stop caring about her. But I'm lucky to have known her well enough to care about her. I really am. I'm very, very lucky to have known someone like Leah well enough to care about her. She opened her home to me. And for all the ways that I felt frustrated and caged in and all of these things, she had to deal with my ass on a daily basis. And I don't ever pretend to be someone who's not difficult to deal with at times, because I am. And she did it in a way where she gave me room to learn while doing her best to keep me safe. And so I guess, I mean, it hasn't been a year since she passed, but I don't feel like you need to wait for an anniversary to appreciate someone. And I don't know what happens after this life. I like to say that I'm smart enough to know that I don't know shit. And so I don't know what happens after this. I like to believe that anything from reincarnation to the spreading of energy, like in the movie Powder, could happen. But one thing that I do believe is that energy can't be destroyed. So it just kind of, I like to think it goes somewhere else, and that some part of Leah is still here in some way. And maybe that's not true, and I hope that doesn't offend anyone listening, because that's not my goal. But I like to think that the energy and the love that I share here goes out and touches someone and doesn't just, you know, I jokingly talk about truckers who talk on their CBs. Like earlier, there was one trucker who was talking on his CB, and I don't know if there was someone answering that I couldn't hear, or maybe he was just talking to the voices in his head. I have no idea. But I jokingly looked over at Maggie and I was like, he's shouting into the void. He wasn't shouting. It was just like my little joke. But I like to think that this is more than just shouting into the void. And I like to think that maybe something that I've said will help someone. And that maybe, who knows, maybe as I'm talking right now, driving through the night, maybe you're sitting there listening, driving through the night. I don't know. But if there's nothing after this, then maybe the point of everything is just to do as much good as you can while you're here. Not now. Oh, Maggie just popped up front. Seriously? This wind is ridiculous. I just came up over top of, I won't say it's a pass. It's not a pass. It's not a mountain. But it's a tall hill. Like, it's pretty, it's a hill. It's a big hill. And as soon as I got to the top of it, it was a little gusty, y'all. It was a little gusty. I'm getting pushed around out here. Which is fine. We're almost empty. Like, we've only got 8,000 pounds in the box. So, you know, when it's gusty, we're going to get shoved. But we got it. We're good. I don't know. Like, I look at the way that Leah lived her life, and you could see in her actions that she... her focus was just doing good as much as possible. I remember when I got back on her truck after having seen a homeless man with his dog. And I was upset because I really didn't have that much money to do anything for them. She didn't even hesitate. She gathered up some stuff. She gathered up some food. She gathered up some dog kibble and some dog chews. And she was like, come on, let's go over. I remember that. There was no hesitation. And she didn't do that. She didn't even want a thank you from him. In fact, she seemed almost embarrassed when he said thank you. You could tell she just wanted to do a good thing. And that's, I believe, why she was a trainer. Because she just wanted to do a good thing. Somebody had reached out to her and said, you ought to train because my friend's getting a really crappy training and she's got a lot of questions and she could use help. And Leah helped that person, and then she became a trainer. And her instinct when she first was told that she should be a trainer was like, I don't know enough. And that was after like 15 years of experience. But she wanted to do a good thing. And, I don't know. Now I'm truly rambling. But she did. I can say for a fact that she did some good in this world because she helped me a lot. And I can't take that help and just be sad because she's no longer around. And mind you, I'm not just sad because she's not around to help me. I'm sad because I miss her. She was awesome. And I miss her. But I'm trying to take that sadness and just really turn it into a positive that I'm glad that I got to know her. I'm glad that she was my trainer. I'm glad. And the whole thing with me talking about what happens after this. I talked to my granddaddy. He's passed away. I'm not talking about, like, you know, I call him on the phone. But I talked to my granddaddy. And I have dreams sometimes where he's in them. And it is what it is. You may be of the mindset that they mean nothing. You may be of the mindset that they mean something. That doesn't matter, really. I don't think. I think what matters is that they comfort me. And that I feel a connection to something that's bigger than myself. You know? And maybe that's all that there needs to be, you know? But in my head, Leah has become a part of my moral compass. Other people have as well. Some people that I don't know. Some people that I do know, like Ellie. And like my sisters, Katie and Caitlin. And even Maggie. Even though she's with me all the time, she's still a part of my moral compass. And it's funny because you would think with so many people like Leah and Maggie and Ellie and Mom and Dad from Kalamazoo and Mom from California, all these people that have become a part of my moral compass, you would think that that compass would get confused. But there's an average. And they all add to me. And at some point in my life, some of them will leave me. And I guess one of the last things that I guess Leah had to teach me, not that her death was to teach me something, but if I can take a negative and make it into something positive, I'm going to try to do that. And just because someone is no longer able to speak with you on the phone doesn't mean that their influence over your life goes anywhere. Because the way that they impact you, in a way, well, at least for me, I don't know if this is the case for you guys, but in a way that they impact you becomes a little bit of a part of who you are. Like how now, and probably for the rest of my career in trucking, and maybe even for the rest of my life, driving at night reminds me a little bit of Leah. And the wind rocking the cab reminds me of Leah and how she kept me safe, even when I didn't want her to. And how much, like, parent-like that was. Your kids shouting and hollering and tantruming. Not that I shouted at her, but I was not happy. But you gotta do what's best for them, even when that feels bad. That will always be with me, and I'm always gonna take her along with in my heart. And even if that's all that is left, even if there's nothing after this and it's just poof, she still means something. And I guess maybe that's probably why I still create content. Because I want to put something positive out there that'll mean something. I guess. I don't know. You want it to mean more than just a drive down the 15 at 3 a.m. Or at least I do. So, with that disjointed and awkward conclusion, if you guys are driving at night ever, and you think of it, send out a little hello to Leah for me. And, I'll be grateful for that. I hope these podcasts, or these episodes, and the videos that we make, I hope that they do something for someone out there. I hope that something I say makes you laugh or makes you think. Hopefully not make you cry, but you know, pain demands to be felt too, so you know, that's okay. Feel your feels. But if there's anything that I hope for you guys, it's that I hope that you're good. And I don't mean just your behavior. I mean your state. I hope that you're safe. And I hope that you're kind to yourself. And I hope that you allow yourself to be loved. And, yeah. I'm so grateful that you came to spend a part of your day with me. And I truly mean that. Especially with how rambly I can be. I mean, let's be honest, you and I both know it. I talk in circles. It's just a thing. But, hopefully something in those circles makes a little bit of sense. Or, you know, resonates with you on some level. Hopefully. And if not, I won't fault you for rolling your eyes at me. But you're so very welcome here. And I appreciate you. And much in the way that I am incredibly grateful that Leah exists, whatever you believe in, I'm so very glad that you exist. And I'm so very glad that you're here. And I want the very best for you. So do something good for yourself today. Do something nice. Do something that puts a smile on your face. Or do something that puts a smile on somebody else's face. Because that's good. And the world can never use less good. Like, we always need good in the world. And if you have a pet, a cat or a dog or both, or, you know, a snake or a bearded dragon, an iguana, or a pig. If you have a pig, send pictures, please, to justjoshpod@gmail.com, because Maggie's obsessed with pigs and she wants one, and I keep trying to convince her that, you know, a pig on a schoolie is going to be very, very, I mean, just, I don't know, it's going to be a thing. Anyway, but if you have a pet in your life, give them a hug for me. Tell them Uncle Josh says hi. And, yeah. So I'll end this like I end all of the videos, with much love. Peep out.